Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Fill-In. I've got Mark Goldbridge back today alongside Dave Watson. It is all kicking off, though, at Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp and Mo Salah are no longer friends and no longer in the title race anymore. Erik ten Hag reckons that Manchester United are one of the most dynamic and exciting teams in the Premier League. We discussed that. Arsenal dominated the North London derby, and unfortunately, it's bye-bye's time to Sheffield United's Football Fill-In.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, and lads, we've got to start with the North London derby. Fantastic 3-2 win for the Arsenal. Watto, I'm going to come for you first, though. Ben White standing on Vicario for Arsenal's third goal. Is that a foul? What could Spurs have done differently to eliminate that happening in the first place?
There's definitely no foul. I'd be very concerned if I was Spurs conceding two set pieces.
Yeah.
Look, it's a massive game. Set pieces are massive in the game. But if you concede two, you're always up against it. Vicario, we spoke earlier in the season a little bit about it. I think if somebody's messing with your gloves and playing with you, you've just got to take it in your stride. The fact that as the ball comes in, he allows him to bounce him and he's dead in the water for the third goal, you are finished. You are finished. And the ball's high enough for him to try and take some command of the situation.
The ball gets headed at about 2.5 yards out.
Yeah.
It's too close, isn't it?
He's behind the line,
yeah.
Got no chance of saving it. And when you go in the zonal setup and you don't mark the guy on you, that's because you're 6'4", 6'5". The physicality of the Premier League demands if you've gone zonal setup and you don't mark him, you have to take charge of that situation. So you know you'll have done it match day minus one 1,000 times this season, that ball, and you have to come and deal with it.
Yeah, simple as that.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. Mark, what did you make of Arsenal? First half, incredible, impressive, absolute front foot. I bet for you watching that, was that sort of massive chalk and cheese between the way Man United play and what Arsenal do?
Yeah, and I think what I would say is from Newcastle's point of view, United's point of view and Chelsea's point of view, I look at Arsenal, I don't know whether it's luck or design, but the way they've been able to keep the same team predominantly all season, Rice, Odegaard, Saka, Saliba, White, Gabriel, Raya, you know, I think all three, Newcastle, United, Chelsea would love that. So Arsenal have done amazingly well, so considering they've been in Europe. But I think that I said it was superb from Arsenal, and people are like, well, they only scraped it 3-2, but it would have been a massive injustice.
Massive.
If Spurs, the first goal is a mistake by Raya.
Yeah.
The second one is a penalty, but that can happen in any game. They're 3-0 up, they're cruising, and it would have been an unbelievable 3-3 if it had ended up in a draw. So I thought Arsenal to go to, when you think about Liverpool and their implosion, and they go to Everton, they're a better team than Everton, but Everton engage the Goodison Park and turn it into a derby. I was a bit worried. Arsenal are better than Spurs, but I couldn't predict it because I was like, let's see how it goes the first 10 minutes. And Arsenal just game managed it perfectly. I mean, I think at half-time, Spurs had 70% possession, but they're 3-0 down because Arsenal just defends so well, best defence in the league, and then they countered so well. But I think, like Watto said about Spurs, I think every goal, they've got to look at themselves and go, well, Vicario is he's like Dracula. He's scared of crosses, isn't he?
I like it.
We've said it before. I've done that one before, but it's true. He's a real weakness there. And Ben Davies, when that break happens,
yeah,
I'm not a left back.
Yeah.
Do not show Saka onto your left foot. What does he do? Shows him, just keep him on the right foot.
Yeah.
And I thought, brilliant by Saka, but he must have thought it was his birthday. So I thought Arsenal made it a little bit closer than it needed to be. Spurs didn't have a clear-cut chance in the second half. So really good win for Arsenal. They'd have took 1-0, 3-2, it was comfortable. I don't know what's going on with Spurs.
I thought before the game when Ben Davies was playing, I thought Saka might actually see that and think, well, I was expecting to be coming up against Adoghi today. I'm coming up against Ben Davies, who's not as attacking, so he would just sort of like sit in his slot a little bit more. I thought Saka might be thinking, this is going to be a bit of a difficult day for me today. I don't like this. But as soon as he gets that ball into space, I'm thinking, Ben Davies, do not let him come inside. Oh, it's a goal. It's as simple as that. You mentioned there about injuries. I think that's a massive thing, Watto. Injuries this season. Arsenal have been incredible at it. A lot of people say that it's unfortunate getting injuries, right? A lot of people, they kind of toe this line. But I'm of the belief that certain players won't get injured because they are a bit more professional than others. Yeah. They look after themselves. They cool down, they warm up, they do all the stuff in the gym. And that prevents them from getting injuries. So I disagree with that whole sentiment of it's just unlucky, right?
Yeah, I'd be really interested to see Arsenal's strategies and how they plan their week in terms of the intensity of the week, the minutes on the training field. Certainly their recovery strategies seem to be better than anybody else's.
Even the strength and conditioning, stuff like that, the gym work.
Because, yeah, they're getting less of the things. And all managers and coaches want time on the grass. Yeah. But if you get the balance between the prehab work before you go on the grass, the recovery work after a match or after your training session, plus the strength and conditioning, all these things alleviate the chances of injury. Mm. And it looks like Arsenal at the minute have got that spot on. Look, if you get a contact injury, that's the game we're in.
Thing, yeah.
That's a different thing. But if you can control everything that's the controllables, if you like, the out-of-controllables is a contact injury in training or a match. If you get them, you have to deal with it. But all the things that you can put and line up, get the eggs in one row and the ducks in one row and say, right, that's where we're at with it, they've got that better than anybody else. And if you can keep a team together, you become more successful for sure.
I think it's a mentality thing as well, because I think that with Arsenal, they're playing for a title.
Yep.
You want to be fit, don't you?
Yep.
Maybe at Chelsea, certainly at United, it's like, I don't know.
What have I got to play for?
Oh, God. Ah, I've driven in today and my hamstring's really tight. I think I might need 3 weeks off. I mean, can a physio tell, this is a good question, can a physio tell if a player is blagging it? Because ultimately, if I go in today, Old Trafford, and I go, you know, we've got Arsenal in a couple of weeks, the crowd are going to be on to me for that. You know, my calf, I was gaming last night, just sat there and it really went. I think I'm probably out for about 3 weeks. Well, Are they going to know?
The first thing they do is they send you for a scan. But if they send anybody for a scan, they're so sensitive, it's going to pull up with something.
Yeah.
And then it's your level of, you've got a grade one, it's an A1 or it's a B1. So there would always be something there.
So if you don't fancy it, you can.
You can get away.
It's the mentality of the player, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you're driving in your Ferrari and your Lamborghini, you might get a bad back, because it's not like driving in your Volkswagen Golf, is it? So
that's why you need to get yourself a Rolls Royce, get yourself a little Wraith or something like that, a bit more luxury, comfort, stretch out a little bit. Yeah?
I just really detect it, especially at United. It happened 2 years ago with Rangnick. The amount of players that were dropping at the end, and you just think, they don't fancy it. Whereas Arsenal, you're just going to be like, oh, my knee's really hurting, but I don't want to miss this game.
But it'll be fine. I have seen players, I won't lie, Mark, where if we've got a tough game coming at the weekend, I know for a fact on a Tuesday, Wednesday, even a Thursday, right, I'm just waiting for it. I'm watching him and I'm thinking he's either going to go down with something in training, or as soon as training's finished, he's going to come in and go, hamstrings tight. And it happened week after week after week, especially when you're losing, especially when you're going for a bad patch, confidence is low, you want to be taken out the firing line. Oh, it's horrible to see.
Still
as well.
Wages as well, don't you?
Exactly, you do, exactly. Right, let's have a little...
Oh, just quickly, did you think it was a penalty on Kulusevski?
No.
Not for me, no.
I think it is, but I think he's got to go down.
I think he tried to ride it, and it was just a little clash of legs. I didn't think it was, to be honest.
I think if he goes down, there's a decision to be made.
But without
modern
that,
game, if you stay on your feet, you're doing yourself. You're encouraged to dive, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you're doing. It's cheating, and I hate it. Yeah. Right, we're going to talk about Man City in a second. Quickly, is all of this incredible sort of form from Arsenal and positive play, all that, is it all going to go in vain? Is it a waste of their time, really? Because are Man City just going to?
Well, we feel as though it's that way, don't we? And when you actually see Tottenham's performance yesterday, even though the game finished close at 3-2, and we're thinking that's the chance for Arsenal because City have got to go to Spurs. On what Spurs showed yesterday, City will win at Spurs.
Yeah.
But we're all hoping for something to happen so that it could be slightly different.
Arsenal got to go to United as well.
That's a gimme.
No, but I think this is the problem with the Premier League. If City win it, it's 6 out of 7. And I'm not talking about Chargers. I'm just talking about Man City, for whatever reason, are a juggernaut. And I don't think they've been at their best this year. And I think Arsenal deserve the title because they've been brilliant. Less goals, more goals scored, less goals conceded. They've been so good. They've been to Wolves, beat Chelsea, beat Spurs. Title winning form in any other era. But in this era, they're still going to come short. And that just shows you how dominant Man City are.
This is the thing with, there's so many teams, Liverpool, your Arsenal, moaning about only winning one Premier League in 10 years. And I'm thinking, you realise you are coming up against one of the best teams the Premier League has ever seen, one of the best teams in the world. There's no shame in coming second to Manchester City. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Watching the game yesterday, Man City weren't at their best. They weren't. Forest had so many chances. And there's a lot of people, actually, I've heard in the media saying that teams are just turning up to Man City now and rolling over because they know they're going to get pumped 4 or 5-0. They just roll over from the very get-go. Forest didn't do that yesterday. They gave it a proper go and were actually quite a bit unlucky, weren't they?
They were. I mean, look, they're fighting for their lives, so teams do change, don't they, in their final few weeks. But I didn't watch it. I was just like, Man City will win that. And I think they'll win every single game. And they have got the best team in the world. But I also think that the Premier League have got a problem of their own creation in the sense that, you know, I would never want this to happen. But I think Newcastle should be allowed to spend their money.
Yeah.
Because that's what Man City did for 10 years. And now they're in a position where no one can touch them because no one's allowed to spend the money that Man City spent. And I'm like, well, Man City aren't going anywhere. They're going to keep doing it. I mean, Arsenal should be winning the league, but Man City are too good. And then Newcastle can't spend their money. We need... Man City are too far ahead. Somebody is... They'd be better off just saying, go on, Newcastle, spend your billions.
Well, I don't get why they would put such limitations on club spending. It's almost
too late.
Like, yeah, but it's almost like you've got these new billionaire owners come in, and I think it's going to detract from anything like that happening in the future, because when it's down to financial fair play, it's like, well, we've got all this money to spend, but we can't actually even spend it. So what's the point?
Yeah. You know what I mean? The problem with saying you can't do it anymore is that Man City have already done it.
Yeah. So they've already got that infrastructure in place.
They've got the infrastructure. They've got the revenue. Yeah. They've got the players. So they're already benefiting from it. So say no one else can do it. Well, what are you going to do about Man City then?
Well, the gap's too big for them. They've created a gap. So unless they give somebody else a platform to say, go and have a crack at it, you're not going to be able to get near them.
No. Is one of the only chances of Man City falling a bit short, Watto, the fact that Edison now out for the rest of the season, came off at half-time in the game yesterday, Ortega is going to be taken over?
It's not a bad second choice. It's not a bad second choice. Yeah, hey, look, there's always a drop-off. We've spoke about it on the show before. The top teams, or any team really, your number one and number two goalie, you want them to be at a very close level.
Yeah.
Because in the modern game, they play so much that something could happen. And if you get a big drop-off, that's when you're in trouble in whatever section of the league you're at. If you're trying to win it, if you're trying to stay in it, if you're trying to get in European places, like Martinez come off for Villa, is that a big drop-off for them for the last few games and they've got the semi-final coming up? Because I think the difference between Martinez and Olsen is so big, but Edison, of course, is the best with his feet. But There's an able replacement who's very capable, you know.
Still proper, isn't it? Yeah, very, very good. Just at the other end of the table, then Forest, obviously disappointing loss, but how do you see it going at the end of the season? It's between them, Burnley and Luton.
I think Luton have choked. I think they've had a good job. They've done a good job, but I think they've choked. I actually think Burnley have lost 1 in 8. And looking at them at the weekend, I think they've been a good football team all season, but they haven't got a striker. But I think in these last few weeks, I mean, I'd be stunned if Burnley stay up. I wrote them off for so long. How they're back in it is incredible. I think Forest played Burnley at Burnley on the last game of the season. And if that is doable...
If it comes down to that, then they've got a chance.
It's interesting, isn't it? But I think Burnley will probably stay up.
Forest have got a much better run, and there's games that they could win, possibly. And if they do end up losing all their games and getting relegated, they've only got themselves to blame.
Yeah, I think Forest would take their games. Look, they've got to go to Sheffield United. The pressure will all be on them.
It's all about that game, isn't it? If they win that game, they should be cool.
They should be safe. Yeah. But Chris Wilde will not allow a Sheffield United team at home at Bramall Lane to roll over. They've got Chelsea at home. You just don't know what Chelsea team's turning up. They were phenomenal in the second half against Villa, but yet they got beat 5-0 at Arsenal. So you're not sure on that. But I think that's a game Forest at home would fancy.
Yeah.
And then we've just spoke, the good to Burnley last match. If Burnley are still in it come that match, they'll fancy the chances.
Yeah,
I saw at the game on Saturday, Man United Burnley. Burnley, for me, phenomenal in the levels of performance. just haven't got that goal scorer.
Yeah.
If they had, it'd be a different game.
If Burnley stay up, I mean, that's incredible. It reminds me of West Brom when they...
Yeah, that would be the story, because we haven't spoke about them.
No.
But they've been on a phenomenal run now. Obviously, Forest have had points off. That's getting resolved, apparently, this week, because you can't get that to the end of the season and just say Burnley beat Forest and they stay up by a point or goal difference or whatever. And then all of a sudden, Forest get a point or 2 points back. It can't come to that. It has to be resolved this week, because now the three games that are left for these teams are going to be crucial. The one thing I'd say about the game yesterday, and I thought Forest were unlucky, Chris Wood had three or four big chances, but it reminded me of the old school football, because the grass were probably a touch longer. They never watered the pitch. They didn't want to bring any water from the Trent onto the pitch, save the water. But that doesn't happen in modern football. Every league, every Premier League game normally, water, water everywhere. And they tried an old-fashioned tactic yesterday. Didn't quite come off, but their players wouldn't be used to it either, because every day in training, it'd be zipping about, normally on a match day. But just to try and put Man City off, they didn't do anything.
That was Tony Pulis's best trick, you know. That was Tony Pulis to a T. Every single game, he would make sure, go to the groundsman, hey, don't you cut the grass. You do not cut the grass 2 days before the game. No chance on the surf. And what time are the sprinklers coming on here? Let it have a little sprinkle about an hour before kickoff so we can do the warm-up and that, he says. But then just let it dry. Let it dry, all right, for kickoff, so it's bone dry, so it's sticky. Make it horrible for us. Because when the ball's up in the air, mate, you know, you don't get affected by that wet grass up there, you know.
I think Forrest tried something. But the level of player they've got, it would have upset their rhythm like the old school, but they tried something different.
I tell you what, I mean, I get a lot of stick for not giving Man City any credit, but I have got known jinx powers. If I say something, the opposite will happen. So I was doing a watch along on Saturday. I had the stats up and I was saying, you'll never believe who's got the best goal conversion rate in the strikers in the Premier League. And a couple of people did guess it. Chris Wood. And what's he do the next day? Fucking completely loses the ability to score. Yeah, I probably hasn't got it now, but
No, he had three massive chances, didn't he? Three at least.
Right, let's talk about Liverpool, lads. Wow, has this spectacularly imploded, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it all came to kind of a bit of a head. It was a disappointing 2-2 draw for them, don't get me wrong. West Ham, tough team to get a result from anyway. But it all imploded on the touchlines. Mo Salah being brought on, started the game on the bench, and tempers, you can see something is going on behind the scenes there. It was horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think, look, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but their season's over. They've messed up Europa League, they've messed up the title, and they're playing like a team that, you know, it amazes me how fans don't realise what happens in the last few weeks of the season. As soon as your head's gone, you're going to draw to West Ham. That Everton and Palace loss has just killed them, hasn't it? And going out of Europe. So their head's not in the right place. I mean, Spurs might beat them on Sunday. You just don't know. But I think with the Klopp and Salah thing, it's really interesting, because Klopp's going to go and I think Salah's going to go. Mm. So as big a story as it is, and I know Carragher was like trying to, you know, brush it under the carpet, which is interesting because he didn't do it when it was Ronaldo. At United, but it's a massive story. But then you're sort of like, you don't really know what to do with it, because you're sort of like, well, he's going and he's probably going to go. So, all right, they might fall out for the next. I mean, I hope I'm sure they'll sort it out, because they've had a great career together. But I mean, I don't really get what it's about.
I'm going to come to you, I want to get your opinion on it. I think Liverpool are going to struggle next season. Mm. I think Liverpool are genuinely going to...
It'd be interesting to see.
I think Mo Salah is a world-class player. He's a match winner. He has won so many games for Liverpool by himself. Him and Jurgen Klopp leaving at the same time, when you're looking at the rest of that squad, don't worry, it's a decent squad, but you haven't got match winners in there necessarily, have you? You haven't got that player that can really grab the game by a scruff of the neck. And I think
it'd be like Pep and De Bruyne going.
It's
in the same sort.
Massive change.
In the modern game.
Massive, massive change. What did you make of all of it?
I just think it's the emotion of failure, to be honest. Failure from the team, and then the frustration that Klopp's not put him in that game. But the team had lost all its rhythm 3-4 matches prior to that. And I just think it's a real frustration. But I'm like you. I think when Sir Alex Ferguson left, nobody wanted that job. And I think when Klopp leaves, the next guy in, it's an impossible job.
Yeah.
I think it's set up for the guy after whoever comes in, to be honest with you.
Klopp coming
back. And if this slot comes in, he can't win. I just think it's impossible. And look, Salah would get in any team in the Premier League, to be perfectly frank with you. And he has won games for Liverpool over the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years for sure. But if you lose him, and it's no disrespect to a Nunes, Jota's, all these Diaz, all these players are phenomenal players, but they don't quite get the team over the line. Yeah. Salah used to get them over the line. And if he thinks his time's done and it's going to be a big change in terms of the manager and all this stuff have gone, a new guy coming in, Salah thinks, what more can I do at this team? Mm. You know what I mean? But I didn't want it to get like that on the sidelines. But I just think it was emotion taking over because everything were kind of in their hands and it's just imploded over the last three or four
weeks. It was kind of an accumulation of everything, wasn't it? It was emotion. It was obviously starting the game on the bench. I think Mo Salah kind of in the back of his head knows that he might be going in the summer. The fact that Klopp is definitely going in the summer, I think that wouldn't have kicked off if both of them were staying at the club. Do you know what I mean? That would not have happened. I heard Perry Groves talking about it on TalkSport yesterday, actually, and he said, for me, it's because Klopp's going. If Klopp wasn't going and they were both staying at the football club, there's no way Mo Salah would have done that because he knows he's got next season and we've got to go again and build again. But because they're both going their separate ways.
He wouldn't confront the manager. Klopp's transformed Liverpool, hasn't he? And he will be forever in their folklore and certainly in the modern era, one of the greatest managers Liverpool have ever had. What he's done over 8, 9 years has been phenomenal. But you would never get a senior player going against your manager. It's because of the circumstance.
Yeah. I think with Liverpool, I was saying this to someone the other day in the pub, I said it's like, you know, Liverpool, as soon as he announces he's going, you've got to respect it. It could be all sorts of reasons, stress, health, whatever. Yeah. You've got to respect it. But it's a little bit like, and Ben will know this, you know when you're having a swimming pool put in, and they said it's going to be done by August. And then suddenly, you know, I need it in May. They're trying to get the project done before it should be done. I mean, I look at, we've waxed lyrical about this Liverpool team all season, how he's built that midfield, it's young. I think this Liverpool team is a bit like Arsenal last year. You can see what it's going to be next year, but only if Klopp stays.
Yeah.
So Klopp's now got to try and win the league with a team that's not quite ready. I mean, it's a brilliant season for Liverpool, but the problem is Klopp's going, so they've got to do it now when I think actually next year and the year after it's probably another Liverpool title winning team, and it's just all too soon, and it's all fell apart because of this Klopp deadline.
Yeah, for sure, but then
they're not ready.
Then the question comes, is that Zlot, and he's done great work for sure, but is he going to have enough to take this team on to challenge and win, which Klopp believes he's built the team ready for that. But like, you take him away, it's Klopp's project. But is he capable then to do it? Because the one thing I wouldn't like to see, mate, is you dive into a swimming pool with no water in because it's not finished.
And then
it's Caputo.
I'm a man of the people, me, mate. I ain't got a swimming pool in my house. No chance.
You've earned
waste of electricity.
Be proud of it. You've earned good money. I've seen it.
But I want to talk about Arne Slot in a second. Yep. Before we do, though, Mo Salah, is he going to start the next game? How does that work from now on? Do you know what I mean?
Look,
Does
he start then?
For me, Klopp's finished. He knows he's leaving. You can't leave your best player on the bench. He don't want to finish on a damp squib this season. You've got to win some games to just get the positivity back, to give the next manager a chance and be wherever you finish.
There's no point to prove, is there?
There's no.
You're the manager. There's I'm going to put you. What's the point? Let's go and have a beer. Well, you can't have one.
Yeah, but
you
know what I mean. Like that.
But there's no point. I think, like you said, you've nailed it. If there's a next season, there's a point to prove. There's no next season. We've worked really well together.
Let's agree to disagree. Yeah, shake hands. Yeah. Come on, let's crack on.
There's no point, is there?
Yeah, I like it. Let's talk about Arne Slot then quickly. £10 million Liverpool have had to pay Feyenoord for. I'll be honest with you, Mark, I've never heard of the guy.
No, he's... Look, Liverpool fans are already saying he's better than Ten Hag. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because
I don't know where that leaves us.
You can argue we're better. Let's not go there. But like, that's just a typical Liverpool thing. Joe Cole said that, didn't he? When I signed for them, the first thing I wanted to do was put a statement out saying United wanted me. It's like, it's the rivalry thing. But look, Ten Hag took over the worst Man United side ever. And Slot's taken over a Liverpool team that we think's on a project that could be really good. So straight away, he's walking into a better situation. The similarities are it's the Eredivisie and he plays expansive, exciting football, which is what Ten Hag did at Ajax. The problem Slot's going to have is the Eredivisie is not the Premier League and Feyenoord definitely isn't Liverpool. So he's wandering into a situation and the media, I think the media is the big thing. Jurgen Klopp and Pep's good at it. It's so powerful with the media and it's Liverpool Football Club. So my fear with Slot is that can he, one, get that team to play the way he wants to quickly because results are important, And two, can he manage the Liverpool brand aura?
The size of it.
It's absolutely massive. And I think that also, what money is he going to get as well? So I think it's a massive watching brief. He's an exciting hipster coach. Like, he's an exciting coach in Europe. Like, he is really exciting. But, and the one thing I would say is, look at Ange at Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, Ange went into Spurs and it worked. So Liverpool will be hoping that they can have the Ange effect. But it's a massive job. And I think they're going to have to be patient and say that this is a... And it's weird because the projects, really, I thought they'd be a better team next year. But if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd just say ground zero, reset. You've got to give him 3 years again, haven't you?
You've got to give him 3 years. It can't be a quick fix, can it? If they get off to a bad start, what are you going to just go clicking your fingers again?
I think that they've done the homework. Look, Dutch football is where it is. They all kind of want to play expansive football. The one thing I think that's in his favour is they'll play 4-3-3.
Yeah.
He'll know it like the back of his hand. His tactics will be slightly different in his variations of his 4-3-3 to Klopp's, for sure. But look, Liverpool are not going to lose all the traits Jurgen Klopp's driven into them over the period of time. And if Zlot's clever and he can tweak his 4-3-3 with better players, for sure, to work in this system, he'll have it off pat. I'm like you. Has he got the character, the personality to manage Liverpool and these superstar players?
Mark, Man United, fantastic 1-1 draw against Burnley at the weekend. After the game, Erik ten Hag said that on current form, Manchester United are one of the most dynamic and entertaining teams in the league. Is he right?
Well, normally I'd be all right here because I could just sort of blag it and protect my club, but I know Otto was at the match, so I'm in a bit of trouble. I know a few people who aren't United fans, and they do say that watching United at the moment is entertaining, but it's not entertaining for United fans. It's very, very stressful. We do create a lot of chances. The way we're playing, we do create a lot of chances, but we do concede a lot of chances. I think it's like a basketball game. I think it's end to end. So I agree with him that, you know, we created 27 chances. We probably should have scored 4 goals. It's not easy to do that against any team in the Premier League. So I think offensively, it's entertaining. But we're so open because we've got this defence, which is just so bad, playing so deep, that as soon as the play breaks down, they're running at your back four and you're like holding your breath. So, yeah, I understand what he's trying to be positive. And you've got to try and be positive. You've got to try and build your players up. But no United fan's convinced like that because it's not entertaining.
Mm.
But he's right. We are creating chances, but it's not entertaining to watch because it's horrible to see how many chances we can see.
Yeah, they're creating chances, Watto, but that's not necessarily conducive to winning games, is it?
No, I didn't think for any moment in the game they were on top. I thought Burnley had more control of the game. Yeah. It were interesting being there as a fan just watching the game. I was really interested to see. I wanted to watch the two goalies, if I'm honest. I'd not seen Onana live, so... I wanted to watch him warm up. I wanted to see him prepare.
What do you make of his performance?
In the game, he obviously made two unbelievable saves.
The left-hander.
Left-hand save.
What a save.
Potentially save of the season.
What a save.
Makes a big block, spread in one-on-one. But yet, in the end, he's cost his team 2 points. Like we said at the very start of this season, it should have been a penalty for Wolves. It were exactly the same then. So, but I thought Burnley were in control of the game more.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And it did end up being a game of ping-pong or basketball, however you want to describe it. But then Burnley had more legs and energy for that game to suit them better.
Yeah.
Obviously, Casemiro's playing centre-half. That's difficult. But when Casemiro and Maguire were getting run at, they were in big trouble.
Yeah.
And they needed Onana to make a big save when they got in behind on the block. But they always looked as though they were going to give a chance away. Yes, on the flip side of that, they were very aggressive on the front foot when they managed to nick it and play a transition. But I thought Man United were living on scraps more than Burnley because Burnley controlled the game better. And really, even though he's made a mistake, he's had to make... after 20 seconds, there could have been a goal down with a decent finish.
What do you make of what Mark said there about the back four and it being a poor back four, basically? I'm of the belief that... Yeah, I agree. I know what you're saying. I get it. But I don't think that's all the back four's fault there. I really don't. I think the gaps appear so much and there's so much space to run at the back four because that midfield they're nowhere to be seen. They don't want to track back. They don't want to work and help the team. They kind of go forward and they're happy to attack. But when it comes to doing the dirty side of the game, they go, nah, you deal with that.
Well, I thought the game didn't suit them. Look, Ten Hag picks his team. He's got a problem in the back four, so he puts Casemiro at centre-half. That's his choice. But if you put Eriksen and Maino together in there, you've got one lad who's got energy and that to burn, but he's obviously running on empty with his third game in 6 days. He brings Eriksen in, who's, a phenomenal footballer. And when he had the ball at his feet, predominantly, there was some class there. But against an high-energy team like Burnley, it was too easy to get at the back four. And that back four with two centre-halves who, without being disrespectful, haven't got the greatest pace, looked very, very vulnerable.
It's an accident waiting. It is. You're right. It's an accident waiting to happen. And the problem is, you look at the bench and it's just kids.
Yeah.
He can't do anything about it, really. But I don't know whether Burnley played midweek. I don't know whether they did. I can't think whether they played midweek. I don't think they did. So Man United played 90 minutes an extra time on Sunday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Sheffield United, and then Saturday afternoon. I mean, that should be illegal.
Yeah, that's at this stage of the season,
especially when you've got an injury cry. To be fair, I've not heard Ten Hag say it. I know he mentioned the penalties, and I thought that was illegal. But the amount of games that when he took Højlund and Maino off, the fans were booing. You need to switch on to the fact that those kids have probably
Literally kids. Yeah, kids, it's
ridiculous amount of game time. There's nothing on the bench. I some people want Ten Hag to go. I get it. But I also look at it and go, I don't really know what else he can do.
I think this is where Ten Hag, though, could help himself a little bit. Come out after the game. And when he's talking about Maino and Højlund, they've played three games.
Should have done, yeah. We shouldn't have to figure that out.
In 6 days, they are knackered. They are absolutely running on empty. And that is exactly where you pick up hamstring tears and calf strains. And that's the kind of stuff that you have to go, no, I bought them off for a reason. Yeah, the game is what it is at that moment in time, but I've got to look after my players. It's as simple as that. Quickly, the penalties that Man United should have been given, should they have been given them? There were three in total. I thought the handball one, Wan-Bissaka, probably was a handball. It should have been a penalty. The other two?
I think the other two, I've seen them given for City. And I think that the handball is just the most blatant handball I've seen. I mean, we went to extra time because of a handball like that. Yeah. So you talk about us being knackered in the Burnley game because of extra time, because of a penalty that then we don't get against Burnley. It's just crazy to me.
All right, let's talk about Sheffield United. Then their demise was confirmed at the weekend. And another 5-1, another five goals. 97 goals they've conceded this season, Watto.
Look, you deserve to go down on that. But if you watch that game, they should have been 3 or 4 up at half-time. Yeah. It's incredible. Newcastle weren't at it. Sheffield United were at it, but same problem Burnley have got. Can't score goals. They scored from a corner, short corner. Very good routine. So the 1-0 upset piece. Dominate the game. Can't get the second. And then Newcastle, second half, run all over them. Isaac's a proper player, isn't he? And Newcastle's form at home is what it is. But Sheffield United, 16 points. Most goals conceded, and they've got 3 or 4 games to go.
Well, they've let in 97. The record is 100 held by Swindon, I think 93, 94. And they've still got a couple of games to go. So
not Barnsley.
No chance. Absolutely. We've got to have a bit of respect. We're not even in the top six on goals conceded. Yeah.
So it looks likely they'll break that record. Also, another record is Newcastle scored 13 goals past Sheffield United this season. That's the most ever
against
an individual team. 8 in the first game and 5 in the second. It's not nice, is it, when you're down there?
I tell you what, Leicester have been promoted. I don't know who else is coming up. But whoever's coming up, put all your money in a striker.
Yep.
Because if Burnley got a striker, Sheffield United got a striker, you do get chances in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You've got to put it in the back of the net.
Striker or a goalkeeper? Yeah, a goalkeeper. Watto?
I think so, yeah. I think Burnley have obviously changed their goalie because they've thought that were required.
And he played well at the weekend.
Yeah, very good. And the level of performance and the team has gone up a bit. I think Sheffield United brought a goalie in, but they've gone back to Fodderingham and it's just not worked out that way. When you chop and change the goalie, if you can spend your money at both ends of the field, spend on a top goalie, spend on a top striker, your chances of staying in that league will have doubled, for sure.
Right, we've got a couple more things to talk about, and then we've got the quiz. It was a fantastic couple of weeks for Everton. I'm so happy for Sean Dyche, massive Sean Dyche fan. He does exactly what it says on the tin. Name the brand?
Ron Teal.
Ron Teal, well done. First of all, though, we've got to talk about...
You get a point for that.
Yeah, you get a point for that, yeah. We've got to talk about Aston Villa-Chelsea game. 2-2 draw. I've got to say, at half-time, Villa absolutely cruising. And then I saw Emi Martinez come off Watto. Saw him coming off, and I thought, oh, I do not like that. Didn't matter who's coming on in.
That's Graham Taylor, isn't it?
Yeah. It didn't matter.
Thank you. Get that on, Jay.
It didn't matter who was coming on to take his place. I think Emi Martinez instills so much confidence in that Aston Villa team. Yeah. Whoever you bring on, the levels are just going to drop. And that's the way it went. At the end, Villa were hanging on, weren't they?
Well, look, Villa 2-0 up at home. And yes, it's a big drop off Martinez and Olsen. We've spoke about it already. But you'd still expect them to see the game through. But Chelsea, to be fair to them, were on the front foot. And I still can't believe that they got that goal ruled out.
Yeah.
Last kick.
I mean, I
think it's foul.
Mate, come on.
I love it. I think it's a foul. I'm 100%. With you. I saw it. It's a foul. I fully believe it was ruled out.
Not for me.
You know, when you first in real time, not
up north. That's what them up northerners.
You got to breed them tough, haven't you? That's your centre half, by the way.
Mate, I completely agree. Right, that I think VAR is a shambles and it's ruining football. I agree with Pochettino, but I think on this instance, it probably was a foul. It was. He's just nudged him and he took him off balance, and that's all there was.
They didn't appeal for the foul.
No, I get it. I completely.
He knows, right? Yes, I'm going all the way with you. He's giving him a nudge, but the centre half knows that he's just got his timing off a bit. He's allowed him to lean into him, and he's thought he's done me here. Yeah. But I can't flap on the floor. I've just got to accept it. And somehow, it weren't a clear and obvious error. Yeah, I just don't see it. Anyway, it is what it is. Chelsea were very unlucky. Villa got lucky, to be honest. But Villa need Martinez to be back in the team. I know he can't play in the first leg of the semi-final, but for them to get fourth, they need him in goal.
Yeah, I thought it was a foul. But what I would say in defence of Chelsea is that I thought it was a foul on Gabriel at Newcastle and it didn't get given, did it? It's the same thing. So again, inconsistency. And I think just on the refereeing, the referee on the pitch should see that. I saw it in real time. It's like, so I thought it was a foul. And it's a bit like Michael Oliver in that Spurs game.
One, yeah.
I mean, what is he watching?
He's about meter you away.
Why does he staring at it, watching Declan Rice kick him in the nuts and just going, he needs VAR.
Yeah.
Might want to look. I mean, that's the level of Michael Oliver. I mean, absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I thought Gary Neville was actually brilliant on commentary because as soon as it happened, I said, penalty. And Gary Neville straight away went, penalty, it's a penalty. Showed the replay and he went, it's a penalty. And he was like, it's so obviously a penalty. How can you... But this, is again, give VAR a bad name because he's so scared to make the decision there and then that he just lets play... Instead of reffing the game that he sees right in front of his eyes, just do what you're supposed to
do. But it's becoming a different sport for referees, isn't it? They feel as though they don't have to make a decision because there's so many layers... There's so many layers behind it. And that's what's happened with the linesman. Yeah. And now that's what's happening with referees.
All right, like I say, quiz in a minute. Quickly though, Everton, it's been a fantastic couple of weeks with them. Brilliant win against Liverpool in the week and then follow it up with another 1-0 win. Clean sheets for fun at Everton. Yeah. Sean Dyche, done a fantastic job this season. 8 points deducted, yet they're still by far and away safe. Really happy for Everton, actually.
Well,
yeah.
We spoke, this is the year to get your points off, to try and stay in the league for sure. But, you know, the other teams might actually take it down to the wire. But for Everton... They've been a class above. Obviously, the results this month, you take the Chelsea loss out of it, they've been phenomenal. I think Pickford's proved he's England's number one. Yeah. He's made some really important saves over the last couple of weeks. And Everton have done what I expected them to do with Daishi. Goodison Park's a fortress. Clean sheets. For them, they've managed to take the title aspirations of the biggest rivals away in the week. Stayed in the league on Saturday.
It's been a dream week,
and they'll be able to live on it all summer.
He's only two behind Raya for the Golden Glove pick.
Incredible.
That's unbelievable. But then again, I think Everton are in a false position because of the points deduction. They'd actually be
kind of mid-table.
And they were never going down. Like, you don't appoint Sean Dyche and go down with an Everton team like that. They were never going to go down. And yeah, they might get stuff by Chelsea, but they're just never going to go down. Like, they're streets ahead of what's in the bottom six.
All right, lads, fantastic show today. Quiz time. All right, then, quiz time. I am currently 2 ahead of you and, like 5. You're miles off it. Absolutely miles off it. Jamie, confident Jamie today, yeah?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. You
right.
ready?
10 questions.
Question 1. Which goalkeeper has kept the most clean sheets?
Raya.
Correct.
Doddle.
Did you write these then?
Yeah, did you write them together before you started? Come on.
I read it and I was like, oh no.
Just you should have put that as a bonus ball question.
Question two. Gvardiol joined Manchester City for €90 million, but what club did he come from?
Borussia Dortmund.
No. It was Leipzig.
Leipzig is the correct answer.
€90 million. Not bad.
For a defender.
And they're still spending, aren't they?
21.
Yeah.
Got no chance, Arsenal.
Question three. Roberto Martinez was the previous manager of Belgium, but which international team does he manage
now? Portugal.
Yeah. Correct.
Good one. Portugal. I didn't even know that. I did not even know. Before we go on to that, did you see Nathan Aki and Rodri having a bit of a kickoff at half-time? Yeah. Do you know what it was about?
No.
I know exactly what it was about. So Aki was flinging his arms up like that, yeah? And Rodri was going, whatever. Basically, Rodri was just doing the theatrics towards the end of the first half, right? And he was constantly flinging his arms around like that. And Aki took proper exception to it. And I love it as well, because when players do that, it's all just a deflection. Yeah. It's not me, it's all of them. And Aki was going, no, you're a dickhead. Stop it. Stop flinging your arms about, basically.
And did he stop it?
He stopped it, yeah.
Obviously,
it was good.
Scared
I liked
of him,
it.
Man. Scared of him.
I liked it.
Well done, Nathan Aki.
Yeah, no room for theatrics, all right?
Question four. Who was the only home team not to score this weekend? Who was the only home team not to score
Forest.
This weekend? Forest is the correct answer.
What's the scores and doors?
2-1-1. Watto is in the lead.
You always get surprised.
What did you get? What other answers did you get?
Portugal. Oh, yeah. Jesus, have you been sleeping?
Sorry, yeah.
Question five. Which club is nicknamed the Cod Army?
Grimsby.
Not Grimsby.
Oh, no. Mine don't count then. Mine don't count.
Yeah, you both said it.
They both said it.
The Cod Army.
Oh, I've got it.
The Cod Army. I'm going to say...
Five.
Plymouth.
Fleetwood.
Fleetwood Town.
Fleetwood.
Yeah.
He's Watto.
Cod Army.
Watto's good at these.
Where does Cod Army come from for Fleetwood?
It's on the sea, isn't it?
Well, it's definitely on the sea, but anyway. Too easy to go for Grimsby, wasn't it?
I think they're known for angling. Like fishing.
Aren't Grimsby the pilgrims?
Is that what you just did?
Are they pilgrims, Grimsby? Anyone know Grimsby?
Yeah, pilgrims.
Pilgrims.
Yeah.
That's Plymouth, isn't it?
No, they are. Yeah, that's Plymouth. Yeah, what are Grimsby then? It's got
Mariners.
The Mariners.
There you go.
Wow, what a that's boy.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Question six, career path question.
Come on, Benjamin.
I have played for Watford, Norwich, Blackburn, Tottenham, Portsmouth, Coventry. I have played for Watford, Norwich, Blackburn, Tottenham, Portsmouth, Coventry. You all smirked when I said Watford.
Nugent.
No.
Go for them again, but slower. You rattle off the names way too quickly.
Watford.
Good joke. Confident, Ginge.
Norwich, Blackburn, Tottenham, Portsmouth, Coventry.
Tottenham to Coventry.
Tottenham, Portsmouth, Coventry. I have played for Watford, Norwich, Blackburn, Tottenham, Portsmouth, Coventry.
I think you need to start counting down a bit here, Jay.
Four. Three.
The only one I can think of is James Maddison, but that's not the...
Not
that's
James not the, that's not the, no. Two.
Well, the timer resets if he's...
Five. No! Honestly, four. We've been on this 2 minutes.
Three. Two. One.
Don't know.
Tim Sherwood.
I've wiped him from my memory because of
Watford
his bloody punditry.
I didn't even think of a Watford bit.
No.
I was getting grief when I said Watford.
He's a bit old, you know.
Yeah, that's too old for this show, Jay.
I'm so
sorry. He gave me a chance and I got nowhere near it.
It's too old. It's too old for this show.
First career path.
No disrespect, Tim, but I'm sorry.
Anyway, we missed that bit.
All right. Update there.
He's not relevant enough either.
Oh my god.
But he's not played for England. You can't go old and irrelevant.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow.
He's got, yeah, he will captain. He's got
a Don't worry, he's a big head. He will tell us how good his career is.
Did you see that thing interviewed
him? Him and Shearer got the same amount of winners' medals.
You just need some good players around you. You can't say it, but I can.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're that relevant. We haven't even got you on a 2-minute career path thinking about it.
Oh, wow.
Nowhere near it, to be honest.
Yeah, Batty, you know. He's massive. I've seen him. He's massive.
Can have a go.
Celebrity boxing match.
We'll get it on. We'll get it on. Saudi Arabia, we can go.
Yo, wow.
Perfect.
He scores on the door, 2-1-1.
Brilliant, Jake.
2-1-1-1. We 2-1-1.
Question 7. Who was the captain of Arsenal in a 2002-03 Premier League
Tony season? Adams.
Tony Adams is not the
Vieira.
Vieira.
I was going to say Vieira, but I just wanted to wait.
It was appointed after Tony Adams' retirement, so it was the season after.
Close, but no season.
Close that was, yeah.
So Goldbridge, 2. Question 8. At what club were Fernando Torres and Kevin De Bruyne teammates at?
Wolfsburg. Atletico Madrid.
Both Chelsea. Wrong. Chelsea's the correct answer.
Oh, my God.
The slow worm catches the I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just taking
I've got you.
I'm taking my time. Yeah.
3, 1,
that's the early
two.
The early worm.
Yeah, but I'm the
early worm.
The early bird catches the worm.
Yes!
I'm not the early bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Question 9. Who was the manager before Marco Silva at Fulham?
Is he their current manager?
No.
Yeah, Silva's current manager.
Yeah. Don't do 5. Just relax, all right?
Okay.
Fulham fans are screaming at the chat going,
Scott Parker.
Scott Parker.
Yeah. Oh, you little beautiful. I just saw his jumpers. I just saw his lovely jumpers.
I remember his jumper at Liverpool. Yeah, amazing.
Good one. 3-2-2.
Scotty P, eh?
Yeah, you've done well there.
Question 10. The New Forest derby is between Southampton and what other club?
Portsmouth.
No.
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth is the correct answer. Oh! Watto is equalised to make it 3-3, taking it to a tiebreaker.
3-2.
No. Ben is out.
You're out, Ben.
Hey, this is a novelty, having a gap.
No, I'm happy to see you two prosper and thrive.
Thank you, mate.
Tiebreaker question. Question 11. Aguero is the highest Argentinian scorer in the Premier League. Who is second on that list?
Oh. Alvarez.
No.
Oh, you've got all the time in the world, Watto. 5, 4.
Aguero is the highest Argentinian scorer in Premier League history, but who is second on that list?
Yeah. No, I think it's...
Good question.
Yeah. I can't even think of...
I think I might be coming back in.
Yeah, I think you are.
Well, we're going for crap ones.
Can I have an answer, Watto?
Honestly, I can't think
any
of
Argentinian striker.
No, I ain't got one.
Can I have a go?
Right, we're both having.
I were only going to say Otamendi because he's Argentinian, isn't he?
He's got 84 goals.
Oh my God!
What, 84?
Go on, who is it?
Tevez.
Carlos Tevez.
Oh my God! You didn't say that. You said Lamela a minute ago.
No, I weren't even thinking of Tevez. Oh my God!
4 goals and Carlos Tevez is second on 8.
You need another question.
He was dead to me.
You need another question.
When he went from United to City, again, Sherwood, Tevez raised them.
Didn't even think about him.
I was going to say Juan Sebastian Verón.
I had Suarez in my mind.
Yeah,
all the time.
Uruguayan,
I
know.
Yeah, that's all I had in my head. And then I thought, Otamendi's Argentinian. That's only one of the
defender.
Yeah.
It's a draw then. We both get a point. It's a draw.
What? Well, you don't. You get half a point.
No.
We both get a point. That's the rule.
I think we have to move on with a point.
Both points each.
I think that's good, though.
I have to.
Yeah.
Brilliant, Jay. Good referee, mate.
Great show.
Good referee.
Quick question. Can we not think of a quick question?
No, it's been decided.
I have one.
Go on, then.
In my head.
Go on, then.
We think we've done it before.
Oh, no.
I'm not in it.
Who is... I think.
Oh, God. No, Jay. You've got to be strong here.
No. It's incorrect. My answer's wrong.
Oh, no. We've got to get a point then, didn't we?
We both get a point each. Make it a little bit more spicy at the end of the season.
And especially because he's on every fucking show and we miss so many, we'll have a point each, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, you can have a point each. I don't mind. Well done, lads. All right, that was a football fill-in. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week.
Boom!